in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation.
Understanding is open. Open thou our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your word. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered the hearts of men, unveil them to us tonight by your Spirit. Thank you, Father. Grant us eyes that see, ears that hear, hearts that understand. Subaraka simbeletisco fratila capatenios gelim brascunteke paracatai indo sevilla prandos capacatizo veletina. He said, the Spirit entered into me when he spake to me as I teach the word of faith. Let there be impartation of the Spirit of faith that will carry your people to their destiny, change the trajectory of their lives, transform them, transmogrify your people beyond recognition. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Clap your hands, oh you people. Come on, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Come on, celebrate, shout glory. You might be seated in heavenly places. Hallelujah. I'm so excited about this new series, The Economy of Faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, God have called and sent us on a mission, you know, gave us a vision to raise a people of glory that will become the living manifestation of his word in every area of their lives, dominating the systems of this world until they become dominating the kingdoms of this world, the systems of this world, and taking them over until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God and of who is Christ. Now listen, we have three mandates of our vision: the glory mandate, number two, the world manifestation mandate, number three, the dominion mandate. Now, there is no way we can fulfill this vision or any of these three mandates without a thorough understanding of faith, real Bible faith. It takes faith to see the glory of God manifested. In John 11:40, Jesus said, is it to Martha or Mary? He said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe? If thou wouldest believe, is talking of the believing of faith. He said what? Thou shouldest see the glory of God. In other words, faith is a key to the manifestation of God's glory in your life. Am I communicating? You cannot live the authentic Christian life without faith. In fact, you cannot even please God without faith. You see, when we talk about faith, it is even beyond receiving things from God. Yes, faith is a major receiving system in God's kingdom. We'll look at that. But beyond receiving things from God, faith is the way to please God. Did you hear what I just said? It takes faith to please God. God is not pleased by fear, doubt, unbelief. God is only pleased by faith. Hebrews 11 verse 5. Hebrews 11 verse 5. Okay, verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible. What's the meaning of impossible? Talk to me. What's the meaning of impossible? Impossible to please God. So faith is not just a way to receive things from God or get things done. It is the way to please God. Praise God. And Christianity is all about pleasing God, doing His will. It takes faith to please God, to bring pleasure to the heart of the Father, to gladden the heart of your heavenly Father. See, that's why anytime God sees His children functioning in faith, God is pleased. God is impressed by your faith. Am I communicating? Just imagine Abraham. God spoke to him. He said, leave your father's house. Leave your people. Leave your kindred. Leave your country. Leave your everything familiar and known. Leave it. He said, come. Go to a place that I will tell you of. What? Did you notice God did not tell him any specific destination from the start? He said, to a place I will show you. And Abraham obeyed, doubting nothing. Took off with his whole family. That is faith. No wonder the Bible calls him the father of faith. Through his faith, he pleased God. God is well pleased by faith. He impresses God. It is faith that impresses God. Am I communicating? Kilobakasaya. And we have dominion mandate. There is no way we can raise a people of dominion without faith. Whatsoever is born of God, 1 John 5 verse 4, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The world is full of challenges. The world is full of problems, troubles. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The question is, how did Jesus overcome the world? It was through his faith. He used his faith to overcome and conquer and subdue the world, and then he gave us the victory. And then he now told us for us to walk in that victory that he has purchased for us legally. We have to what? Use our faith. Am I communicating? This is the victory. Very definite articulo. In other words, stop looking for the victory elsewhere. This is a victory that overcomes the world, that subdues the world, that conquers the world, that dominates the world, even our faith. You can't walk in dominion over the circumstances of life without faith. You can't walk in dominion over the devil, dominion over diseases, dominion over death. You can't walk in them without faith. Am I communicating? We dominate demons with our faith. We dominate Satan, their master, the devil, with our faith. It is by faith that you walk in dominion over every adversity you will ever face in this life. Over the storms of life, you weather them with your faith. Crisis will come. The issue is not the crisis. The issue is not the adversity. It's normal. As long as you are on earth, you are not in heaven yet. Those things will come. What is more important is your faith. Because it is when you put your faith to work, You now use your faith to weather the storms. You use your faith to conquer those challenges. And you ride on in victory. Am I communicating? Faith is very key to dominion. Very important. We can't dominate the systems of this world without faith. The children of Israel could not take the promised land without faith. The writer of Hebrews said, Hebrews 11:32, he said, time will fail me to talk of Barak, of Gideon, of Jephthah, a long list there, of Samson, of the prophets. He said, who through faith, he's telling you that the victories, the successes, the exploits and triumphs that these men recorded in the Bible was by faith. He said, who through faith, not fear, not unbelief, not doubt, who through faith, they subdued, they conquered. Am I communicating? They became victorious. Kingdoms. You can't take kingdoms without faith. Mandabalatia. Even your inheritance in Christ that has been made accessible by grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bible said the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. All the blessings and benefits of the suffering, the substitutionary sacrifice, the death, the burial and resurrection of Jesus, all the blessings and benefits that belong to us as a result of the substitutionary works of Christ that has been made available to us by His grace. It is by faith that you access them. It is by faith that you enjoy them. Without faith, you will only be doing window shopping of your inheritance in Christ. You know window shopping? That's, you will be seeing it, but you can't take delivery of it. And it belongs to you. You possess your possession by faith. God told the children of Israel that I have given you Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon and his land. I have given you by my grace, by my word, I have given you. He said, but begin to possess it and then contend with him in battle. They needed to fight the good fight of faith in order to possess their possession. Can you see that? Because there will be giants. You see, there are giants in every man's promised land. There are giants. The challenges are there. Everywhere you go, they are there. But the real issue is not the giant, the presence of the giant. The real issue is your faith. So you now begin to talk like Joshua and Caleb. Let us go up at once and take possession of the land. The Lord is with us. Their defense is departed from them. They are bread for us. These are people that are functioning in faith. Am I communicating? That is how they talk. It takes faith to take your promised land, to enjoy your inheritance in Christ. Am I communicating? I think it was Dr. Mike Mudock that said the most important person in your life, apart from God, apart from your spouse, is the person that builds your faith. Because this whole life, see, your future in the kingdom is principally faith determined. Your faith is your future. Your faith is what creates your future. Everything you become is decided by faith. You become what you believe. Am I communicating? So the person that builds your faith is very, very, very crucial in your life. Never, ever joke with such. Hold them in high esteem. Because we are moving on. I will show you that faith is actually the lifestyle in the kingdom of God. Romans 5:2, he said, by whom also, by Jesus, we have access by faith into this grace. So you access all the provisions of grace. Inside the provision, there is healing, there is health. All of that has been made available. Prosperity, wealth, riches, victory, success, greatness. Am I communicating? Promotion, increase, name it, long life, they are all provisions of grace, supernatural strength, supernatural wisdom, everything that pertain unto life and godliness has been given to us in Christ by his grace. But you assess them by your faith. You see why faith is so important. It's so critical. He said we have access into this grace wherein we stand, and then we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Give me 2 Peter 1:2. 2 Peter 1:2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. The epignosis, precise, accurate, exact knowledge. Yeah, there is no guesswork. There is no experimenting. It's precise, accurate, exact knowledge of God. The kind of knowledge that comes by intimacy. Experiential knowledge that comes by fellowship, in which the knower and the object of knowledge, they have become one by fellowship. Am I communicating? Grace and peace are the multiplying factor, is multiplied to you through knowledge. Next verse. It says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Can you see? God has given us all things according to his divine power. By his grace, he has made all things available that pertain to life and godliness. And he says, they are channeled to us through the epignosis, through the knowledge, the highest kind of knowledge, epignosis, of him that has called us unto glory and virtue. Am I communicating? And you know, faith is rooted in the knowledge of God's word. Am I communicating? So it everything has been made available by his grace, but it is only enjoyable, accessible and enjoyable by your faith. Praise God. You see, I understood this thing some years back, and when I understood, I now saw why faith is so important. That there is almost nothing that you want to become in this life, or what you want to do on earth, even your future, that does not places a heavy demand on your faith. When I understood that, I took it as a project to start building my faith. It takes faith to marry. It takes faith. Everything. Your business requires faith. Your career, to be successful, almost anything, just name it, academics, everything requires faith. This was why Jesus prayed for Peter. He said, Peter, Satan has what? Desire to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, not for you not to be tempted, because as long as you are on earth, temptation will come. He said, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Can you see that? So many people, their faith normally fails. Their faith can fail when they are tempted. Jesus did not pray for him not to be tempted. He said, I pray for you that your faith will not fail. Because faith failure equals destiny failure. He said, and that when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Jesus prayed that prayer. No wonder Peter, even when he fell to temptation and denied Jesus 3 times, he later got converted, he repented and came back to Jesus. But show me who prayed for Judas. Who prayed for Judas? You now see why Judas was totally lost after he fell to temptation. Nobody prayed for him. Am I communicating? You prioritize building your faith. That's why never joke with any opportunity to feed on the word of God, to hear the word of God. Pay any price to be there. Pay any price. There are some people in this ministry, some students, that when they told me their testimony, I was really impressed. One was telling me that he used to trek from his house to come to AGMI meetings when we were using that former venue. He said the word he used to hear, they so blessed him and they started changing his life, that even when he does not have transport, many times he said he will trek instead of staying at home. Now, if it were somebody else, what a good excuse. I don't have transport, stay at home. But because he knows that what I'm hearing there is very important, he placed high premium. He valued the word of God he was getting because of the impact he's seeing and the transformation. He said, I would rather trek than to miss the meeting. Am I communicating? Kilobakasaya. Your sense of value is very important. The things you value matters a lot. Now, if we say we are sharing $1,000 for everybody that comes for AGMI service, I bet you, service is by three, but I bet you that if it is confirmed that we are giving everybody $1,000 and we do enough publicity, by three, there will be no space inside here. Am I lying? Why? There will be overflow, self, even to the gate. Why? Because people place value on the $1,000. Now, look at the problem. They are now placing value on $1,000 above the word of God. And that is a big issue. The same word of God that created the whole world, the word of God that created human being, even the monies in the world, I'm like, look, the creator and the creature, which one is greater? The Bible says, by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the word of God is the creator of the universe and everything inside, all the silver and gold. So wise people value the creator above the creation. Wise people value the word of God above money. Some people will not even come to church on Sunday. They will say they are busy. Yeah, pastor, you know this is our work. We dey work even Sunday. That shows you your sense of value. Am I communicating? May you never value anything above God's word. So it takes faith to walk in dominion. It takes faith. You need to understand that our inheritance in Christ, there is no argument about it. For sure, it is sure, it is guaranteed. Okay, give me Romans 4 verse 16. Let me show you something there. Very important. He said, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end, okay, give me this in Amplified. I like the way Amplified put it. Watch this. He's talking about our inheritance in Christ. All things that pertain to life and godliness. That Jesus, through his substitutionary sacrifice, his vicarious death, his burial, his resurrection, everything that he has made available to us. He said, therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith. You see that? It takes faith to lay hold on your inheritance, to lay hold on the promise. Am I communicating? We have the covenant of promise in Christ, but it does not drop on your lap automatically. It takes the partnership of faith to lay hold on your miracle, to lay hold on your supernatural harvest. The promises, the prophecies of supernatural harvest concerning this year will not just drop on your lap automatically. You have a part to play. Am I communicating? It takes the partnership of your faith to reap your supernatural harvest. He says, therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith. Can you see this? In order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed. Mandoboko sabataya. To all his descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, and we are the children of Abraham. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Who is thus the father of us all? He says, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends what? Entirely on faith. Kelo bakasaya. When challenges come, can you use your faith to deal with them? Or will you become helpless like the people of this world? Or will you be throwing pity party all around, looking for who will pity you without any solution? Ketobaya, can your faith withstand pressure? You need to build your faith and learn how to put it to work. You need to exercise your faith. The 1,000 you got by your faith, by releasing your faith, is better than the 1,000,000 you borrowed. You got by borrowing. You don't know. You see, it's not borrowing. Let me tell you one thing about borrowing. It weakens your faith in the area of finance. That's the big problem with it. It may give temporary relief, but listen, every time you have opportunity to use your faith, but you decide to go for other alternatives, your faith becomes weaker and weaker. But anytime you have opportunity to exercise and use your faith and use it, and you get result, your faith gets stronger and stronger in that area, because there are so many areas. Am I communicating? In the area of finance, the more you borrow, let's say you are in financial need, and instead of using your faith, you go into God's word, you get the promises of God, you start meditating, that's as pertaining finances. Ask yourself, what does the word of God say about my finance? What is God's word in that area? Gather those scriptures, start meditating on them, put them in your heart, and then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Start declaring them, and as you start declaring them in faith, you mix it with tongue, you begin to prophesy, declare faithful words, activate the ministry of angels, angels of finance, money angels, and all of that. Send them on a mission, cause the monies to come, and then as the Spirit of God leads you, you begin to take action steps in that area. And now, if you do that, even if it was 1,000 you got by faith, or even 100 naira, do you know you are better than the other person? That when the person was faced with financial challenge, immediately they start thinking of who to borrow from. They start looking for who to beg money. Anytime you do that, your faith in the area of finance becomes weaker and weaker. Am I communicating? The same thing in the area of healing and health too. The same thing. It's a similar principle. It's not that taking drug is bad. You can take it in faith. That is, if your faith is not strong enough to receive without the drugs, or boy, combine the drug with your faith. No problem. Don't feel condemned. Then, when you are well, start working on your faith in that area. Start building it. Don't go on holiday. You see, that's the problem with many people. They will now go on holiday, waiting until another health challenge hits them. No. You start, when you know that, look, my faith in this area is still shaky. Sit down, take it as a project. Get those healing scripture, get scripture that has to do with divine health, and sit with them. Start meditating on them like a ruminant animal. Start chewing those scriptures. You know the way ruminant animals chew the cud until they extract all the juice and the nutrient from those grasses that they eat, so that the next time a health challenge or sickness challenge come, it will not meet you at this same level of faith. By then your faith has gone up, so you can handle it, so that you don't even need the drug again. Am I communicating? This is very important. Strong faith comes by exercise. Just the way people develop six packs, muscle hypertrophy, through what? Exercise, right? The same way, strong faith, your faith is strengthened by exercise. The more you exercise it, the stronger it gets. The more you fail to exercise it, the weaker it becomes. Am I communicating? Okay, let me do small definition. This is the economy of faith. I'll do introduction today. What is economy? I'll define faith afterwards. What is economy? Number one, economy is a system of study is a system of study of the production, exchange, distribution, and consumption of goods and services. Economy is a system of the study of the production, exchange, distribution, and consumption of goods and services. Number two definition. What is economy? Economy is a process or system by which goods and services are produced, distributed, sold, and bought in a country or region. Economy is a process or system by which goods and services are produced, distributed, sold, and bought in a country or region. Number three, what is economy? Economy is a system of trade and industry. It's a system of trade and industry by which the wealth of a country is made and used. Economy is the system of trade and industry by which the wealth of a country is what? Is made and then is what? Used or utilized. The last definition I'll give you. What is economy? Number what now? Four. Economy is the efficient, prudent, prudent and judicious use of resources, both material and non-material resources, in a country or territory or region. Economy is the efficient, prudent and judicious use of resources, or you can call it wealth, resources, both material and non-material, in a country, territory or region. Look up. Do we have economic students in the house? Student of economics, let me see your hand. Unijos, economics. Show. Celebrate him. Yes. What level, sir? 300 level. Who else again? Where is Mimi? Where is Miracle? Tongshinen. Oh, it's not around. I know she's an economy student. Now, there was one Adam Smith that define economics as the science of wealth of a nation. Adam Smith defined economics as the science of what? Wealth. Give me Ephesians 2 verse 18. Now look up. The wealth, you know, there's what the Bible called the common wealth of Israel. The common wealth of Zion. Am I communicating? In the kingdom, there is a commonwealth, and the principle of commonwealth is that the wealth is common to all. Say with me, the wealth of the kingdom, the wealth of Zion is common, is available, is accessible by all citizens. So you are entitled to the commonwealth of Zion. Everybody here. Everybody is entitled to it. The wealth is for you to enjoy. But the way you enjoy it is by faith. The way you assess your portion is by faith. It is unto you. Listen. Your own share of the commonwealth of Zion. Your own share of the commonwealth of the kingdom is apportioned to you according to your faith. It is unto you according to your faith. So when you understand this, you will stop being envious of people with certain level of result. It just shows you their level of faith. And it tells you to build your own faith too. Am I communicating? God is not partial. I say God is not partial. Your portion is unto you according to your what? Faith. Ephesians 2:18. It says, through him we both have access by one, through Jesus we have access by one spirit unto the Father. Next verse 19. It says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Can you shout amen? Amen. The day you got born again, you ceased to be a stranger and a foreigner, but you became a fellow citizens. Paul writing, he said, ye are fellow citizens, writing to the Gentile church. That is the church in Ephesus. He said, you are now fellow citizens with the saints. Am I communicating? Every believer is a citizen of the kingdom. You are a kingdom functionary. And in every kingdom, we have rights and privileges, then we have responsibilities. He says, you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Can you shout amen? Okay, go back a bit. Give me from verse, let's say, 12. Thank you. That at that time, you were without Christ. Okay, give me 11. Let's start from 11. He said, wherefore, remember that ye be in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, by the flesh made by the hands. Verse 12. He says, at that time, he's talking of before they came to Christ, before they got born again, the Gentiles, that's the Ephesian church. He said, yeah, we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You see that? They were aliens, strangers, foreigners, and strangers from the covenant of promise. So there was no wealth for them. There was no covenant of promise for them. Having no hope, they were hopeless. And without God in the world, they were godless. Next verse. It said, but now, somebody say now. The equation has changed. But now. Now, he showed them the picture of their life and everything about them before they came to Christ. It said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Next verse. It says, for he is our peace, who had made both one and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us. It says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of carnal commandment contained in the ordinance, for to make in himself of twain, that's two, one new man, so making peace. He's talking of the new man in Christ. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Okay, 17. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. Verse 18. He said, for through him we both have what? Jesus has given us access. I say, Jesus has given us access. Yes, through his finished work, we have gained access. So the day you become born again, the day you got born again, you accessed the kingdom and you accessed the commonwealth. Am I communicating? Prosperity is now yours. Divine health and healing is now yours. Success and greatness is now yours. Increased promotion. A life, a glorious life. Strength, long life, protection, preservation. Am I communicating? They are all part of the commonwealth of Israel, which has now become the commonwealth of Zion. Because we are now fellow citizens. He said, through him we both have access by one spirit unto the Father. And then verse 19, he went ahead to show you that ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Can you shout amen? Write this down. The economy of God's kingdom is principally a faith economy. Is principally a faith economy. We saw that economy is a system by which production, distribution, consumption, and all of that happens, right? In the kingdom of God, all the transactions happen by faith. faith is legal tender in the kingdom of God. It's legal tender. Faith is a spiritual currency. Can you go and spend Nigerian naira in Zimbabwe? Will they accept it? What's the only way you can use it? You have to what? Exchange it to their own Zimbabwe dollar. Their currency is Zimbabwe dollars now, right? Not US dollar, not USD. You know, different country use dollars, so you have to specify. There's Canadian dollar, there's Zimbabwean dollar. If you travel to UK, for instance, and you travel with so much Nigerian money, can you spend it there? No. What must you do to use it? You exchange it to their own what? Currency, their own legal tender, because their government will not accept Nigerian money. You have to convert it to pound sterling, to euro, right? But that, these are the legal tender in the UK. It's the same thing. In God's kingdom, you can't spend naira. This is your money. You can't spend dollars. All the currencies the people of the world use, we don't use it for transaction in the kingdom of God. You use the currency that is legal tender there, which is faith. Am I communicating? So faith is a spiritual currency by which we do spiritual transaction in the kingdom. You buy and sell. You purchase things by your faith. In the natural, when you want to buy anything, they will tell you the cost, right? And if you have the money, you can afford it. You pay for it. But look up. In the kingdom of God, you don't purchase things with physical money. Not naira, not dollar, not euro, not pound sterling, not even Japanese yen. You don't purchase things with physical currencies, physical money. You purchase things with the spiritual currency called faith. So if your faith can pay for it, you get it. Am I communicating? That's why I say it is unto you according to your faith. Faith is a purchasing power in the kingdom of God. Faith is a purchasing power in the kingdom of God. It's a potent purchasing power. It's a potent spiritual currency. Am I communicating? We're told 1, 2, 3, 4 times in scripture that the just shall live by faith. Give me Habakkuk 2:4. The just shall live. Is it? His soul that is lifted up is not upright in himself. But the just shall live by his faith. Look up. Even God is living by his own faith. You know, God is a faith God. God lives by his faith. He expects we, his children, to live by our faith. Am I communicating? The just shall live by his faith. That word his shows you that faith is a personal asset of inestimable value. Faith is a personal asset. Praise God. Then give me Romans 1:17. Say the righteousness therein in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, telling you that there are different levels of faith, there are different dimensions of faith operation. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul is quoting Habakkuk 2:4. Am I communicating? The just there represent a righteous person. And the Bible says Jesus, by his finished works, has made us the righteousness of God in Christ. We are justified by faith in Christ. We are made righteous with the same righteousness that Jesus has. So he's referring to we, the believers in Christ. We are the just. We are the righteous ones. Am I communicating? He said we shall live how? By faith. So you see that faith is even more than a sermon topic. It is a lifestyle of the just. It is a lifestyle of every believer in Christ. Eh? The kingdom of God has a culture too, just like Yoruba people have their culture. Eh? Am I communicating? Igbos have their culture, Tarok have their culture, Birom have their culture. In the kingdom of God, we have our kingdom culture, and one of them is a culture of faith. And culture has to do with the way of thinking, the way of every their lifestyle, right? Behavior of a people. So in the kingdom, we have what we call faith culture. In the kingdom, our lifestyle is faith. Faith is our lifestyle. So faith is not something you use only when you are in trouble. No, it's a lifestyle. It's not a spare tire. Faith is not like a spare tire you pull out to change whenever you have a flat tire. No, it's the way you are meant to live your life. Say with me, faith is a lifestyle in our kingdom. In the kingdom of God, you belong and you embody. Faith is a lifestyle there. You know, Christians are funny. Some of them, they wait for only emergency situations before they use their faith. No. Use your faith like you use your toothbrush. Did you hear what I said? Every time, every day. Use your faith daily. It is a lifestyle. This is how we live. If the Bible says the just shall live by faith, it also means the just can die without faith. Eh? The just, without faith, the just can die if you turn it the other way around. That's to show you what kills many Christians. Eh? What makes many Christians die premature death? Talk to me. The problem is not the armed robber. The problem is not the gun they shot them. The real problem is not the sickness that killed them. The real problem is what? Talk to me now. Talk to me. Faith failure. Faith failure. Because if their faith is intact and they put it to work, that gun cannot kill them. That accident cannot kill them. That sickness cannot kill. Am I communicating? The just shall live by faith also means the just can die without faith. That's to tell you how faith it is. It will save your life. Praise God. Galatians 3:11. It says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Can you shout amen? Amen. Then Hebrews 10:38. He said, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. This is God speaking. What does this show you? That drawback there is those are drawback in unbelief. Those are drawback in fear. He's talking of those that backslide from the Christian faith. That's to tell you that before anybody backslide, the first thing they lose is faith. The first thing a backsliding person loses is faith. Because if the person's faith is intact, there is no way they can ever backslide. Am I communicating? Then verse 39. You will never backslide in Jesus' name. He said, but we are not of them. Can you shout amen? Amen. We are not of them who draw back. So we are not backsliders unto perdition. No. But we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Can you shout amen? Amen. He's talking of saving faith there. So we are not in the company of the backsliding Christians. No. We are those that believe. Tell your neighbor, you know, a man of God once said, the problem with many believers is that many believers are not believing. He said, we now have many unbelieving believers. May you not be an unbelieving believer. Glory to God. Okay, every challenge or problem you face in this life is the trial of your faith. Okay, it's called the trial of your faith. James 1:2. Every challenge, every problem you face is nothing but a trial of your faith. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. That word temptation also means trials, tribulations, challenges. It says, next verse, knowing this, so there is a requisite knowledge you need so that you will face those trials and temptation and challenges with the right mindset and come out victorious and full of joy. Am I communicating? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Can you see that? So the problem came only to try your faith. The challenges that come your way, they come to try your faith. Praise God. So that means before the challenges come, God expects you to have built your faith to the level that it can handle the challenge, so that it doesn't overwhelm you. Am I communicating? Knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4. He said, but let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Can you shout amen? So you can see that patience is not a consolation prize. No, it's not a consolation prize. He said, after patience is done, you will be perfect or complete and entire, and you will be wanting nothing. Can you shout amen? And then in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he said, there is no temptation that is overtaking you that has come that is not common. There had no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. So every problem, every trial, every challenge is common. Don't make it look special. Every trouble, every wahala is common. You are not the first, you will not be the last to go through it. Say it is common. That challenge you are facing right now is common. Because sometimes the devil will make you look as if it is very special. Sometimes the way some people describe their problem. You say, man of God, you don't understand. You don't understand. See, this thing has been there for 32 years. I have prayed, I have fasted. I have 32 men of God have prayed for me. They still refuse to go. They even mention big men of God. Praise God. See, never get to a point that you allow your challenge or problem to overwhelm you and make you look hopeless. No. Every problem has solution. Every problem gravitates towards its solution. So the fact that it came to you is proof positive that you are the solution to the problem. You have the solution. Am I communicating? Just look at your neighbor and say, that challenge, that problem, that issue you are facing, it is common. He says, there are certain things you must know if you want to overcome it. Number one, God is faithful. God is faithful. God is too faithful to fail. God has no track record of failing anybody. He won't start with you. God is dependable. Man is not dependable. God is dependable. God is reliable. You can count on him. Am I communicating? In fact, faith depends on the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness is his character. His fidelity. He is trustworthy. You can trust him to see you through. God is faithful. Who will not suffer you? God will not allow you or permit you to be tempted or to be challenged or tried above that you are able. So watch this. That means the temptation that come to us are tailor-made for us. That God checks your ability to handle it before he will allow or permit it to come. Why does he permit it? Because it is a platform for your promotion, for you to rise. God wants to promote you, but you have to pass tests. You have to pass Am I coming? Just like in school, do they promote you without writing exam? Talk to me. So God too does not promote you until you overcome challenges, until you overcome the test of life. So that's why he allows them to come. So you see, his purpose is for good, because the purpose of exam is for it to be passed so that you'll be promoted. But Satan's goal is to use those temptations, those challenges to destroy you. You see, watch this. God is not the source of the temptation. However, he permits it because he has checked your ability rating. He knows that this my son can handle it. And then he sees it as an opportunity and a platform for you to be promoted. It's just like after Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, the three Hebrew boys, after they went through the trial of the fiery furnace, what happened at the end? Can you remember the story, how it ended? The Bible says the king promoted them. Go and read the story very well. At the end of the whole thing, the king promoted them. So you see that the trials of life, they are a platform, they are a stepping stone for your promotion. That is how God sees it. Satan brings it to destroy you, to bring you down. But God sees it as a platform for your promotion, for you to rise. But the question is about your faith. It is with your faith that you step on them. Am I communicating? You turn the obstacles into stepping stones. God will not suffer, permit, allow you to be tempted above that you are able. But with the same temptation also make a way of escape. There is a way of escape. Can you shout amen? That's why we talk about faith. He said this is the victory that overcomes the world, that overcomes the challenges of life, that overcomes the trials, the tribulation. The faith way is a way of escape. Faith in God's word, that he may be able to bear it. Can you shout amen? Faith is the key to living heaven on earth. You can live a life of heaven on earth too, despite the challenges, where you learn how to put your faith to work. Hallelujah. Okay, very fast, let's look at some characteristics of faith. Now, you need to understand that the life of faith does not exempt you from the storms of life. So when we teach on faith, it doesn't mean challenges will not come. I've told you, the only problem-free zone is heaven. The only place that there are no challenges is heaven. As long as we're on earth. Even Jesus told us in John 16, verse 33, that in the world ye shall have tribulation. He told us. But he said, thank God we are not hopeless. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And how did he overcome the world? By his faith. And then he told us to use our own faith too to walk in that victory that he has obtained and given to us. We fight the good fight of faith. Praise God. Because there is an enemy, there's an adversary out there, Satan and his kingdom. So the life of faith does not exempt you from the storms of life or challenges of life. But it gives you, it is the way to victory over the challenges. I say it is a way to victory. Yes, it gives you the victory or dominion over those challenges. Even Jesus almost had accident. Shipwreck. Is that not the old Bible term for accident? Him and his disciple. Am I communicating? Satan wanted to kill them all. Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side. He wanted to go and deliver the madman of Gadara that was possessed by legion. Then the devil heard it and steered the storm. The Bible says their lives were in jeopardy. A storm of hurricane proportion, steered by the devil. The boat was sinking. Water was entering. The disciple tried everything in the physical to no avail. They had to go and wake Jesus, who was asleep in the pillow in the hinder part. Say, don't you care we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and the wave. He said, peace be still. And there was a great calm. Can you see that Jesus was challenged? He faced troubles too. But how did he deal with them? By his faith. He expects you to weather the storms of your life. Whether it is storms in your marriage, storms in your family, storms in your finances. You are going through storms in your health, challenges in your academics, in your career, in your job, in your every area, business. He expects you to use your faith. Am I communicating? You build your faith and then you use your faith. You build and then you use it. Am I communicating? You release it by your words and your actions. Peace be still. And there was a great calm. And the disciples were marveled. What manner of man is this? That even the winds and the waves, they obey him. Glory to God. Characteristics of real Bible faith. Characteristics of real Bible faith. Number one, faith is a spiritual force. Faith is a spiritual force generated or rooted in the heart, but released through the mouth. Romans 10 verse 9. Faith is a spiritual force generated or rooted in the heart, but released through the mouth. Faith is not a mental something, it is a spiritual something. Faith is spiritual, not mental. Faith is of the heart, not of the head. Faith is of the heart, not of the head. It's a spiritual force generated within your heart. It is rooted in your heart and then released through your mouth when it is well formed. Am I communicating? Faith is not a philosophical fact. Faith is not a psychological thing. It's not a psychological force. It's not a psychological force. It's a spiritual force. It's not mind over matter. Am I communicating? Faith is not mental assent. You know mental assent? When somebody is mentally agreeing to something, they are consenting to something mentally. Do you know, this is one of the things many Christians have mistaken for faith. They think faith is mental assent. Faith is not a mental, look, it's not a mental thing. It's first and foremost a spiritual force. Look at it. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Next verse. For with the heart, this is where I'm going, watch this. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart, did he say with the mind? Look up. The believing of faith is of the heart. It's talking of your spirit. Faith is a spiritual force. Your heart is designed to believe anything. Your heart can believe anything. Your spirit, there is no limit to what your spirit can believe. Am I communicating? It's just that some people have believed a lie. A lie is anything contrary to the truth of God's word. But the heart is capable of believing anything that it is fed upon. Am I communicating? With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And then with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So the faith, which is a spiritual force generated within the headquarters of your heart, once it is fully formed, you now release it with your mouth. Am I communicating? You can see faith is not mental assent. Look up. Trying to believe only with your mind is mental assent. And it has no root. So when challenges come, everything in your head will fly away. It's what is in your heart that counts. Am I communicating? Faith is not a philosophical fact. No. Did you get that one? I And then you see Mark 11:23, where Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall what? Say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea." You know, Kenneth Hagin made this Mark 11:23 so popular because this was a scripture that gave him faith for him to receive his healing. And he was raised from his deathbed, having incurable heart disease, incurable blood disease. He was bedridden, paralyzed there. It was this scripture he meditated upon until faith rose in his heart, and then he acted on the word and he got healed, totally free. So some people used to quote Mark 11:23 as Hagin 11:23. So a man can make a scripture popular. Who made John 3:16 popular? Who knows? Who made that scripture popular? Billy Graham, the Salvation Man, the mighty evangelist. So let me ask you a question. Which scripture will become popular because of you? Yeah. He said John 3:16, Billy Graham comes to people's mind. Mark 11:23, they think of Kenneth Hagin. You uncle.
Yes.
Praise God. Verily I say, whosoever, he's talking of the law of faith, will come there, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Look up. It is with your heart you believe. It is with your heart you doubt. Look up. The kind of doubt that stops your faith from working is the doubt that is of the heart. If you doubt with your mind but you believe with your heart, it will still work. The doubt that stops faith from working is heart. Because the heart is the headquarters, is the operational base of faith. Faith is a spiritual force generated within your heart. So you camp with the word, you marinate in the word, you meditate, you stay with the word until faith comes. Am I communicating? Until faith rises to a flood tide, shall not doubt in his heart. He said, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. You must have faith in your words. He shall have whatsoever he saith. We call it the heart-mouth connection. The heart-mouth connection. Praise God. Believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth, without doubt. Next, faith is always based on God's word. In bracket, put the rhema of God. Faith is always based on God's word. Romans 10:17. Faith is always based on God's word. And in bracket, I say put rhema. So then, faith cometh by hearing. And the word hearing there, it means to hear for the purpose of understanding. So it tells you that faith is a direct result or product of spiritual understanding. The word you hear but does not understand cannot give you faith. You have to hear and understand it. Am I communicating? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word there is rhema. Rhema. The faith of God is rooted in the rhema of God. Rhema. There are two Greek words for word. One is logos. Logos talks about the sum total of the body of truth. Sum total of the body of truth of God's word. Everything. It talks of the logic of God. The thoughts of God clothed. You know, words are thought clothed in vocabulary. So, the logos is like the whole body of truth. The logic of God. The sum total of the thought of God clothed in vocabulary. But rhema is more specific. Praise God. Rhema is that specific word that was revealed to you by the Holy Spirit out of the entire body of truth, out of the Logos, that specific word that was revealed and quickened to you by the Holy Spirit, it was revealed to you a specific person at a specific time to address a specific situation. Am I communicating? So you can see that Rhema, look at some of the characteristics of Rhema. Number one, Rhema is quickened and revealed to you by the Holy Spirit out of the whole body of Logos. Number two, Rhema is person specific. It was revealed to you, a specific person, not to everybody, not to all general Christians. It's not general, it's specific. It's person specific. Then number two, is given to you to address a specific situation. So Rhema is situation specific. And then at a specific time. Rhema is time specific. Is it clear? That's what gives you faith. Oh. Okay, let me make it easier. We have Dr. David Shakur here. He's a pharmacist. No, just imagine a pharmacy that is full of all the possible drugs to treat all the possible illness on earth. And then let's assume somebody is sick. And then let's say he wants to go and get medication from the pharmacy. Watch this. I want to explain the difference between Logos and Rhema. Now watch this, watch this. That pharmacy contain all the drug medication that will treat all the possible illness on earth. Now this person, this specific person is sick. And this specific person went to that pharmacy. That pharmacy, see the pharmacy that has all the drug as Logos. The entire body of truth of God's word, right? But when you get to that pharmacy, is it all the drugs there or just any drug that will treat you, that will treat your illness, that will cure your sickness? No. Let's say the person has diabetes. Well, if the person go and pick anti-malaria, will it cure his diabetes? If the person go and pick anti-cancer drug, will it cure diabetes? The person go and pick, let's say, medicine for typhoid, will it cure diabetes? Or antihypertensive, will it cure diabetes? What the person need is specific drug, what we call anti-diabetics, as prescribed to him by the clinician. Am I communicating? So by the time the person goes to the pharmacy and then the pharmacist check, okay, this is the one he needs, this is the one he needs. Did you notice that he picked specific medication that is going to cure his specific health problem out of the general? Can you see that? So that anti-diabetic drug is like the Rhema out of the whole pharmacy store called Logos. So this specific person that is sick, to address his specific health issue, diabetes, at that specific time. Is it clear? So this is what gives you faith. Then as you meditate, you brood on the Logos. For instance, now let's say you are having health issue or financial issue, you get all the scripture that pertain to your issue, and then you start meditating on that Logos. You start brooding on it, and then suddenly the Holy Ghost hovers around the scripture, and then he quickens to you the Rhema you need that will give you your healing, the Rhema you need that will give you your money, your finances, the Rhema you need that will solve your problem. Am I communicating? This is very important. Next week, I will teach you how to meditate and receive Rhema. Because there are two ways you receive Rhema. Number one is through meditation. The other one is by praying in tongues. You pray. Listen, you fellowship with God. Watch out. Watch, watch. He says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema of God. Now, without prayer, you will hear nothing. I say, without prayer, you will not hear anything. we open the spirit of wisdom, revelation, understanding. Suddenly you have a hearing ear. Prayer will open you to hear. It will open your spirit to hear the word and receive rhema. You now see why prayer is important in the faith equation. It's not that prayer gives you faith direct. Look, it is wrong to pray for faith. You don't pray for faith. Faith cometh by God's word. It's God's word that gives you faith. But listen, this is where prayer is important. Prayer will help you to hear the specific word that will grow your faith. Prayer will help in you receiving rhema. Prayer and fasting is necessary for you to hear and receive rhema. It can also help to decontaminate your faith. Of all this doubt, unbelief, it will purify your faith. But prayer cannot give you faith directly. So, have you ever heard people say, "Oh Lord, increase my faith"? They are praying that prayer that the father of that boy that was deaf and having deaf and dumb spirit, even though it was epilepsy, say, "Eh, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." That's not faith. Praise God. Just like one time Jesus was teaching on forgiveness, the disciples say, "Lord, increase our faith." I've seen Christians praying for God to give them faith. No, you are telling God to do for you what he told you to do. You are the one to build your faith on the word. God has made available the raw material, his word. He said you build your faith. You are not telling him to do what he told you to do. Till husband said, "This is the kind of prayer God will never answer." Number one, tell him to do what he has already told you to do. He gave you responsibility, you now transfer it to him. Praise God. No. God does not answer that prayer. Prayer will help you to hear and receive rhema. It will open your spiritual ear to hear. But prayer will not give you faith. Faith will come from the word. You need prayer to receive rhema. You need to meditate on the word to receive rhema. And when rhema comes, faith comes alive. Am I communicating? Now, give me from verse, 15. Let's see, from verse 15. Let me show you something very important. Okay, 14. Give me 14. I want to show you the journey to 17. Is it? How then, because verse 13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Bah? Give me 13, let me see. He said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," they call upon him in faith, "they shall be saved." Then verse 14, he said, "How shall they call upon him?" He said, the salvation will come when they call upon the name of the Lord, right? They call upon his name. Okay. Then he said, "How can they call upon him in whom they have not believed?" So, for them to call upon him, they have to first what? Believe. The believing of faith with their heart. With the heart, man believeth unto. And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? So, they cannot believe until they heard the gospel, right? Hearing. They have to hear the gospel. The gospel must be preached to them. Isaiah said, who has believed our report? The hearing of the gospel. Okay? Next. Then he said, how shall they hear him without a preacher? So somebody must, there must be a preacher, the preaching of the gospel. There must be a preacher preaching the gospel. Next. I want to show you something interesting. Move on. How shall they preach except they be sent? So, the preacher must be sent, the sent ones, to preach the gospel so that you will hear and then you will believe and then call upon the name of the Lord and experience salvation. Now, he said, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings of good things. Next verse, 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. The Bible talks about the obedience of faith. For Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our report? He won't say this if all of them believed. He said, for they have not all obeyed. Next verse. So then, can you see the context? The context that this statement came from. So then, faith cometh by hearing the gospel, the word of faith that is preached to you by preachers that are sent to you, beginning with your shepherd. Look up. Faith, your faith grows faster and more rapidly when you hear the gospel preached to you by those that are sent to you, beginning with your shepherd. That's what I want to show you in the context. So this is why sometimes some people in church, their faith is not growing. You know why? They are not listening to their shepherd. Meanwhile, that's even the number one person that is supposed to grow their faith. Praise God. So it's not just listening haphazardly. It says you have to locate those that are sent to you. Praise God. That is how your faith grows like wildfire. Glory to God. Faith is based on the word. Look at Romans 4:17. What was the word that God gave Abraham? Abraham was in the Ur of the Chaldeans, far in the land of Mesopotamia, and the word of the Lord came to him. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believe in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. That's Rema. God spoke to Abraham that a father of many nations have I made you. Abraham didn't have this Bible, but he had the Rema of God. Did you notice? It was the spoken word of God to him that gave him faith. So faith is a product of the Rema. As you meditate, Rema comes to you. Sometimes as you are listening to message, as you are in church like this, beyond what I'm preaching, Rema can come to you. A specific word from the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Somebody was in church, and then preacher was preaching, and suddenly the person heard the name of the lady he should marry. He has been praying, Lord, is it Chiamaka or is it which one? He had like three ladies on his mind. He has been praying. Then he came. That's why it's good to always come to church. Pastor did not say anything like that too. There was no word of knowledge that does hear the Lord is Chiamaka he should marry. But as he sat under that teaching, Rema came to him. The Holy Ghost knows your need, though. So he will quicken the word you need. Then suddenly the Holy Ghost, Rema came, Chiamaka is the one you should marry. And that was it. It cleared all the confusion. That was how the answer to his prayer came. If the word can turn water to wine, it can turn into wife, can turn into car, it can turn into house, anything. Praise God. So the word God spoke to Abraham gave him faith. It was Isaiah 58 that Kenneth Copeland received faith for his private jet from Isaiah 58, I think verse 14. He said, thou shalt delight thyself in the Lord thy God, and he shall cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. He meditated on that scripture until he started seeing himself. You know, he's a pilot. He's a trained pilot. He saw himself flying private jet. And faith This scripture, from this scripture, he received rhema that gave him faith to obtain his private jet. And he became the first preacher, the first, to believe God and release his faith and get a private jet. He said when he took off for the first time into the air, the Holy Ghost was laughing. He asked the Holy Ghost, why are you laughing? He said, you are the first of my children to believe me for private jet. He released his faith. What gave him faith? This scripture. He found rhema. Am I communicating? So faith is beyond just quoting scripture. Go for rhema. Meditate, pray in tongues until rhema comes. Kasila bagadia. Am I communicating? This is where the equation begins. Faith cannot come alive until you receive rhema. Praise God. In Matthew 14:28, Jesus was walking on water. His disciples were battling with boat. There was a storm. And then they saw Jesus. Hey, see evil spirit. They were terrified out of fear. Jesus said, no, it is I. And then they said, if it is you. Peter said unto him, Lord, if it be thou, tell me to come. I should come and walk on water with you. Watch this. Next verse. And Jesus said, what? Come. See, it, just one word. Come. Now listen. I'm explaining rhema. This word was spoken to Peter, only him. Others were in the boat. The other disciples were in the boat. But who did this word? Who did Jesus speak this word to? Rhema is person specific. It's not general, it's specific. He said, come. And this word, come, gave him enough rhema for him to walk on water. Faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is different from taking risk. I know in business they talk about calculated risk. Listen, no, faith is not a risk. Faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is a leap on the word of God. It's a leap on the light of the word of God that has exploded in your spirit. You have received a rhema. It's a leap on the word, the rhema of God that you have received, you have believed, and you are acting upon. Am I communicating? He said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water. Kalabashataya. Just one word, come, gave Peter enough faith. The rhema of God, come, gave him enough faith to walk on water. And you have the whole Bible. Selah. The children of it, give me Hebrews 11:29. The Bible said by faith they walked. Hebrews 11:29. By faith, the children of Israel, they passed through the Red Sea as by through dry land, with the Egyptians attempting and saying to do so, they were drowned. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Look up. I'm about to explain something very important. You know, I've listened to some people teach on faith. Now, there are two extremes. The first extreme are those that focus only on confession without action. Words without deeds. Then the second category focus on action without receiving rhema first. You see, watch it. You need to understand faith. It's so important. Faith is not just acting. You must have received rhema. It's on that rhema, it is based on the rhema of God that you are taking action. Am I communicating? Now, two set of people, they took the same action, true or false, but did they get the same result? He said, by faith, the children of Israel, they passed through the Red Sea. That is action, corresponding action, right? Successfully, as by through the dry ground, God dried the sea for them, which the Egyptian are saying to do so. The same action, oh, the Egyptian too. The thing opened for them, we too. But look at the outcome. What happened? They were drowned. So why? Let me explain. Follow me carefully. Watch. There was a rhema God gave the children of Israel. They were acting on the rhema that they have received. Give me Exodus 14 verse 15. Look at the rhema that God gave Moses for the children of Israel that they acted upon. I told you, faith is not a leap in the dark. No, faith is not just taking risk. It's a leap on the rhema of God. He said, and behold, okay, 15, verse 15. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? He said, why are you crying? When they were confronted with the Red Sea, he said, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now this is their rhema. He said, speak unto them. Did he say speak to the Egyptians? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. So there was a rhema God gave them, and this rhema fired up their faith. So they walked through the Red Sea as per through dry ground, and they got result. Am I communicating? The waters were like a heap to the right and to the left. But the children of the Egyptians, what was the rhema God gave them? God repeatedly told Pharaoh, let my people go. Let my people go. He didn't say go forward or follow the Egyptian. He said, let my people go. But Pharaoh will not allow them go. So they attempted to act on the rhema the children of Israel received, and they were drowned. So faith is not just taking action, it has to be based on rhema. Am I communicating? He heard testimony of a brother who heard a message on faith, was fired up, went to a car stand. He had received rhema for his car. Said, today I'm getting a car. He doesn't have any money in his bank account, but he had faith. He had received a rhema, and he started pricing a particular expensive car. And then he didn't have anything. Yet he was, you know, faith comes with confidence. Faith is confident assurance, full persuasion, firm conviction. He was fully persuaded beyond every iota of doubt. His faith for car was red hot. He didn't have one naira in his account. Car that cost millions of naira. Then there came this allergy. While they were still talking price with the car dealer, this allergy, he wants to buy surprise car for his wife during their birthday. And the particular car the wife likes is this car the man wants to buy. This guy that came by faith. And that's the only one there. That's the only one left. So the car dealer told the allergy that this guy is already pricing the car. And according to our this thing, we don't cut corners. Then the allergy called him to one corner and explained, see, this is my wife's birthday. This is a car she likes. I want to buy for her. I beg you. I'm ready to pay for a more expensive car, anyone you choose, but this particular one, allow me to buy for my wife. And then he say, hey, you, are you sure? Because of your wife, who? Okay, he went and looked for, watch it. He went and looked for the best car he liked, more expensive than that one. He said, okay, this one. The allergy paid fully for it. And that was how the guy drove out of that place with his brand new car. He didn't pay one naira. He had faith. Why? He had received rhema. He came to testify in church. Brethren in Christ. Hey, how God. Pastor was preaching on Sunday, and that was how faith came alive. And then look at my car. Free of charge. Bought by faith. Seal and stamp. Just like that. Another brother heard. He said, oh boy. The following Monday, him to go. Now, he has not received any rhema. He's acting based on presumption. No rhema. He took the same action. Went. Now, with Koboko. Now, he end the home. They flogged him. It's not like these Egyptians. Praise God. I'm teaching on faith. I love to teach on faith because you have to understand this thing. No, you can't tell, I say, now, boju boju. So faith is based on the rhema of God, spoken word of God to you. It gets you to be fully persuaded, firm conviction. It gives you firm conviction and confident assurance. Next, characteristics of Bible faith. Faith is a potent creative force. Faith is a potent creative force. Hebrews 11 verse 3. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the rhema of God. I know rhema is the root of faith. By faith, through faith, we understand that the worlds, the aeons, events in time, course of life, the various dispensations were katatizo, repaired. The word frame is a Greek word katatizo. They were repaired. They were brought to perfection. They were brought to completion by the word of God, the rhema of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Am I communicating? How did God create the world? By the force of faith. We live in a world created by faith. And this world is sustained by the law of faith. You see the creation story in Genesis 1, verse 1 down to the end, down to 31. And God said, you see how God releasing his faith through his words. Your faith creates your future. You know, there's this saying that the best way to predict the future is to create it. And faith is a creative force. It has creative power. So by faith, you create your future. Faith makes you a co-creator with God. Look up. It takes faith to fulfill your divine destiny. If God's word said by his stripe you are healed and you believe something else, you believe the opposite and you are confessing the opposite, which one will come to pass in your life? Is it how faith is so important? Your faith is what determines your faith. Your faith, F-A-I-T, is what determines your faith. F-A-T-E. So you must agree with God. You become what you truly believe. The fourth characteristic of faith: faith confesses boldly and speaks freely of what it truly believes. Romans 10:9-10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Shaburabakataya. Faith confesses boldly and speaks freely of what it truly believes. Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Faith is not silent. Faith is not quiet. Faith is a loudspeaker. Faith is not mute, it's a loudspeaker. Am I communicating? Your faith confession must be strong and robust, not a lean one. Am I communicating? Look up. Speaking is the initial corresponding action of faith. Give me Matthew 21 verse 18. Matthew 21:18. I say speaking is the initial corresponding action of faith. Even before other deeds of obedience. Speaking. Speaking. It's not enough to receive rhema. You need to speak. He says, for he had said that we may boldly say. So you are to say boldly what God have said to you. Am I communicating? That's faith speaking. The spirit of faith believes and speaks. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, Jesus was hungry. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. He said to it, "Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever." And presently the fig tree withered away. Next verse. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How soon is a fig tree withered away?" Did you notice how Jesus released his faith to curse the fig tree? He said, "Let no man eat fruit of tree." He released his faith by speaking. Watch it. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, "How soon is a fig tree withered away?" Then look at 21. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not," he said, "if ye have," because they didn't have. But you have faith. Romans 12 verse 3, God has given to every believer the measure of faith. What you need to do, grow that faith, nurture it, and use it. Exercise it, put it to work. Build it, use it. Build your faith, use it. So he said to them, "If ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree." I thought some people say speaking is not doing. I want you to see something there. What did Jesus say? If you have faith and then you release it. How did Jesus release the faith he had? He spoke to the fig tree withered. And then Jesus said, if you have faith, you will not only do this. That means speaking is doing, is part of doing. Follow me carefully. "You shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say to this mountain." Speaking is a part and parcel of doing. In fact, speaking is the number one corresponding action of faith. How did God release his faith to create and recreate the world? By speaking. Before he did any deed of faith, he first spoke the words of faith. When we say corresponding action, there are two forms. One is words, the other one is deeds. Both of them, they fall under corresponding action of faith. Some people only emphasize the second one. Both are important. Some emphasize only the first one. Me, I'm emphasizing the two of them. And I'm telling you that the number one is even words. How do I know you are in faith? I will hear it in your words. If I hear what you are saying, I can tell whether you are in faith or not. If you will not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but if you shall say to this mountain, "Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea," it shall be done. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
Then next verse, he says, "It shall be done." So your words can get things done. Your faith-filled words can get things done. Start speaking to your bank account. Start speaking over your business. Don't just sit down. Customers are not coming. Sales are going down. Business is going down. Get up. Rise up. Let the spirit of faith come upon you. Wake up. Start declaring, "In the name of Jesus, I call forth customers from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. I speak forth increase." Am I communicating? Doctors diagnose you with HIV, with hepatitis, with cancer, and you are doing nothing. No. Let your faith, after you meditate on scripture, you receive rhema, rise up and start declaring faith-filled words. The words you speak with your mouth can affect your body, can affect your health. Am I communicating? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Healing and health is in the power of the tongue. Poverty and prosperity is in the power of the tongue. "Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you." Faith calleth things that be not as though they were. Start calling forth your prosperity. Start calling forth your healing. With your faith, start calling forth your greatness. Call forth your success. You see, Christians are funny. They sit down, they do nothing, they say nothing, and they are expecting something positive to turn out. It doesn't work like that. Satan will turn out negative, all the things you are not expecting.
So you have to arise with your faith and intentionally, deliberately start making faith-filled declaration concerning the desired result you want. Praise God. Nothing changes until you change it with your faith-filled words. Faith-filled words brought forth the world and is sustaining the world. He said, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. You can see that faith is what makes prayer work. So prayer minus faith equals no answer, no result. Don't pray out of fear. Let your prayer be motivated by faith. It takes faith to receive answer to prayer. Mark 11:24, Jesus said, whatsoever thing you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them and you shall have them. And how do you receive? By faith. Am I communicating? It is faith that makes prayer work. Katabala kataya.
Hebrews 11:3. We read it earlier. Genesis 1:3. You see that. So let your faith confession be strong, robust, and consistent. See, the best time to know those that are truly walking in faith is when crisis moments hit them, when challenges hit them, when adversities come, when the pressure of life, the challenges of life is they are confronted with them. That's when you know those that are truly in faith, because it will show in their words, it will show in their action. Anybody can confess when everything is going smooth now, right? So those one doesn't move me. I wait until challenges hit you, and then I watch how you are going to handle it. Then I will know your faith level and know where to class you. Am I communicating? It's so important. It's crisis moment that reveals people's faith. Hey. Next characteristic, faith has action steps of obedience to take in order to get the desired result. In bracket, put deeds of obedience. Give me Romans 4:12. Faith has action steps of obedience to take to get the desired manifestation or result. Action steps of what? Obedience. You can put in bracket deeds. I told you, corresponding actions of faith are in two forms: the words you speak, your faith confession, declaration, and then your deeds of obedience. You need both. Okay? They are a proof of your faith. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of circumcision only, but who also walk. They walk where? In the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. So if you are in faith, you will walk in the steps of that faith of Abraham, our father. In Genesis 12, the Lord God has said unto Abraham, leave your father's house, leave your kindred, leave your country, leave your family to a land I will show you. And then we're told Abraham obeyed. That's steps of what? Obedience. Faith has steps. In Genesis chapter 17, God told Abraham, as a sign of my covenant, he said, circumcise all the male children. Abraham circumcised everybody, starting with himself. Imagine an old man circumcising himself. How painful it is. Obedience may be painful, may be costly, but the end result is priceless. The price of obedience is far cheaper than the cost of disobedience. Disobedience will cost you more. God said, I give you the covenant of circumcision. Abraham obeyed. He used sharp stone, circumcised himself first, and then circumcised all the male children, including Ishmael. Then Isaac have not arrived. Then he circumcised all the male servants born in his house, including the one he bought with his money. Somebody say obedience. Action steps. Deeds of obedience. Then the worst one was Genesis 22. God said, Abraham, carry your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, the one you waited for 25 years,
He said, go and sacrifice him. One of the mountains of Moriah. And Abraham obeyed. Early in the morning, they were on their way with the servant and Isaac. Somebody says steps of obedience. In James chapter 2, verse 18, it says, faith without works is dead. The works there is talking of the corresponding action of faith. Deeds of obedience, which is part of James 2:17. Even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead. And then he went ahead to explain, if you read down, how people's corresponding actions of faith cooperated with their faith in order for them to get results. Then give me verse 26. He says, as a body without the spirit is what? Dead. Even so, faith is dead without works. The works there is not the works of the law. You know, look up. Martin Luther did not like the book of James, because James kept saying faith without works. So Martin Luther thought that the works here is talking of the works of the law, because he read Paul said a man is justified by faith without the works of the law. So he's kind of, Martin Luther said, which one is James talking? If I even move a motion that they should expunge and remove the book of James from the Bible, they should decanonize the book of James, remove it from the canon. Because he was thinking that this works here is the works of the law. But actually, it's not the works of the law. It's talking of the corresponding actions of faith. The things you do when you are in faith. The things, those action steps that faith demand. Am I communicating? Faith in your heart will move you to say something and to take action steps of obedience. Glory to God. We move. Obedience must be prompt and complete. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Incomplete obedience is also disobedience. So you must be a doer of the word and a prompt doer of it. Next, faith pays close attention to a good conscience. Next characteristic of faith, faith pays what? Close attention to a good conscience. 1 Timothy 1:18. Faith always walk with a good conscience. 1 Timothy 1:18. Faith pays close attention. It walks with a good conscience. I say 1 Timothy 1:18. Is it this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. I sing praises to your name. Now, look up, next verse. Is it as you are fighting the good fight of faith, using prophetic words as your advantage, is it holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away, concerning faith, have what? Made what? Shipwreck. So if you put away or throw away or ignore and neglect good conscience in your faith work, what will result? Shipwreck. What is shipwreck? The old Bible term for accident. So you now see why many Christians in their faith work, in their faith journey, they suffer a lot of accidents. Because they are not paying attention to what? Good conscience. Good conscience there means co-perception. Somebody say co-perception. That word good conscience there is talking of co-perception. Very important. Co-perception. It's talking about paying attention to the leading of the Spirit. Following the leading of the Spirit. Following the leading of the Spirit. Very important. Very, very important. Kai, this one is so important. Maybe by next week I'll throw more light on it. 1 Timothy 1:5. If you don't want accident in your faith work, pay attention to good conscience part. The leading of the Spirit you are having in your heart. pay attention to co-perception. Praise God. Now the end of the commandment is charity. Charity means love, generous love, giving love out of a pure heart. That's good conscience. Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned or sincere faith. Faith unfeigned means genuine faith. Feigned faith is fake faith. Okay? From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto what? Vain jangling. May that not become your portion. You don't want shipwreck. You don't want to turn into vain jangling. Pay attention to what? Good conscience. 1 Timothy 3 verse 9. 1 Timothy 3 verse 9. What does it say? Holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. They always work together. See, the good conscience part is talking of the leading of the Spirit. For instance, now, if I want to operate in faith, I have to pay attention to the leading of the Holy Ghost. If I don't want trouble, always follow the leading of the Spirit in your heart. That's talking of co-perception. Is that what God is leading you to do at that point? Is that the leading of the Spirit? Don't neglect it if you don't want accidents. Praise God. Some people have been flogged, say they are walking by faith. Eh? Somebody heard a man of God, his wife was bleeding from miscarriage. Okay, the wife came back, I think it was Bishop Oyedepo. He said he came back from preaching. The wife told him that their first son, when she was pregnant, that she had what looked like miscarriage. She blood and all of that. Everything came out. The man of God screamed in faith. He roared like a lion. It cannot happen. Can I have my food, please? And that was it. They never revisited the matter. They didn't discuss it again. And the pregnancy stayed. That's their first son, David Oyedepo Jr. You see him preaching with his father. Now, that is somebody's that roared in faith. Now, another person heard the story and his own wife was having bleeding, miscarriage. It cannot happen. You did not receive. You see, that man spoke in faith. You've not built your faith to that level. And you are talking. And that was how his own wife bled to death. And now people will now say, I tried faith. Faith did not work. We should knock your head. Faith tried you. You did not work. That's not faith. That's foolishness. It's not. Faith is not foolishness. Oh. Praise God. Everybody speak according to their level of faith. You can measure your level of faith by your confession. Praise God. Sometimes you are sick and you are confessing, which is good. And then you say you are acting in faith, which is good. But look at it. The Holy Spirit knows your level of faith. And then in your heart, you have it in your heart. Your conscience is telling you, add medicine to this thing. Go to hospital. No, now listen. 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 It's not that you don't have faith at all. But the level of faith you have built at this time cannot handle this problem without medical assistance. So that is why your conscience is telling you go to hospital. So you have to go to hospital in faith, not in doubt, in faith. With the level of faith you have, go. That's where you can combine faith and medicine. You can combine faith without surgery. What God doesn't want is you taking the medicine in doubt or going for the surgery, not in faith. Mm-mm. You can combine it. But many have ignored that leading to their own peril. Their conscience is telling them, go to hospital. They say no. Say, do CS. Say, we must deliver like Hebrew women. Meanwhile, your faith level cannot carry. It's foolishness. Sir, we need to teach these things because we've seen a lot of drama. We've seen a lot of drama. Your conscience is telling you, you are led. The Spirit of God is telling you, do this, yes. But you say no. If I do CS now, what will they say? They will say, I don't have faith. No. The Holy Spirit is telling you, you are having the leading, just do the CS. Your level of faith alone cannot handle this issue. So with the level you have, you know, the person that have 1,000, does he have money? Yes. The person that has 1 million, does he have money? The one that has 1 billion, does he have money? All of them have money, Abby. But is he at the same level? Can 1,000 buy a Rolls Royce? Can 1 billion buy a Rolls Royce? So the fact that the Holy Ghost is saying, go for that surgery, it doesn't mean you don't have faith. It simply means that your level of faith is not enough to do without the surgery. So you do combine the faith and the medicine. There are people like that that I will minister to, say, go and collect injection, go to hospital. It's simple wisdom. There are some people that have called me, man of God, pray, oh, doctor, say, we need, the baby is not coming, we may need CS. Then I say, yes, it's true. You need the CS. I'm praying for you that the CS will be successful. Go for it. I won't tell you not to do. You understand? It doesn't mean you don't have faith. But by the time you grow to a level, you've built your faith that it becomes unnecessary. You don't need it. It's just simple wisdom. But here is the wisdom. Don't try to form the level you never reach. That's the problem with many people. Pride. There are some Christians in some churches, they hide to take drugs. If they see me, if my church members see me, they will say I am Nepios. You know Nepios? A baby Christian. They say, they will say I've been Nepios. So they will, if they go hospital, say they're not going to tell their pastor. So they are now dying in silence. No, don't behave like that. Don't behave like that. I heard the story of Pastor Chris Oyakhilome some years back. Ulcer, peptic ulcer dealt with him so much. Sometimes we'll be preaching, the pain will come so much. Sometimes we even vomit blood, hematemesis. Peptic ulcer, for years, that thing dealt with him until God later healed him. He got healed totally. He said there was a time he had acute exacerbation of peptic ulcer disease. They had to admit him. Say so some of the his pastors he was working with, then I say the brethren say they want to come and greet you, should we allow them? He said let them come. How else, what other opportunity would they have if not now? Let them come. So they came and greeted her. See, pastor, we drip. No problem. So they gave him the injection, IV omeprazole, this one, that one. They treated it. See, he went back to the world. See, there must be a solution. So he was working on his faith, building, until he got to the point that he got healed totally. Tell your neighbor, keep building your faith. Don't feel condemned. Take your medicine. If that is the testimony of your conscience, always listen to it. See, let me tell you something. Anytime you try to take a step of faith above your level of faith, anytime you try to take an action, do something that is beyond your level of faith, your conscience will warn you. So watch this. We flow in faith, we move in faith using the leading of the Spirit, our conscience, in our heart as the steering wheel. Did you hear what I just said? We move in faith using the leading of the Spirit as the steering wheel. Always pay attention For instance, if somebody say, Pastor, I'm feeling sick, I'm using faith, but I'm thinking of going to the hospital. What should I do? I will tell you, go to the hospital. You know why? Because for you to come to that level and be asking me whether to go to the hospital, it means that your faith has not been built not to need medication. That's the testimony of your conscience. I will not tell you not to go, I will tell you to go. This is where some men of God have missed it. They will now do foolish things. Until some prayer houses, some people have died there. Some sick people, they have died in some prayer. They have come to arrest the because of foolishness. They think it's faith. Will you force your faith on the sick person? You understand? It doesn't work like that. You move in faith using the testimony of your conscience, the leading of the spirit in your heart as a steering wheel. Never try to do anything or act beyond your level of faith. If you do that, your conscience will warn you. And many have ignored that testimony of good conscience and they have made a shipwreck of their faith. Praise God. Are you learning something? The last one I'll give you. Faith worketh by love. Are you learning something? Faith worketh by. Even Kenneth Hagin, the man of faith, there was a time his wife had to go for a surgery for, I think, is it a thyroid condition? Thyroid condition. She had to go for surgery. But before she went, she was afraid initially. She had not built her faith to the requisite level. And even Kenneth Hagin was afraid. So he started praying for her. Prayed for her. Until one day, the Lord then told him that she can go for the surgery. Said, now her faith has reached a level that if she go for the surgery, she now combine the faith with surgery. She will not die. Nothing will happen. The thing will be successful. She let her go. And then she went. They did it. She was successful. In fact, even the doctors were surprised. She healed very fast. That was a man of faith. He was not foolish. He didn't try to impose his faith on his wife. Faith is a personal asset. You can't force your faith on somebody, an adult for that matter. Mothers can exercise faith for their children before they reach age of accountability. But once they reach that age, they are on their own. You have to use your own personal faith. Somebody cannot carry you with their own faith. Praise God. Parents can exercise faith on behalf of their children. We can exercise faith sometimes for people that are too sick. There are sometimes people are sick at the point of dying. At that point, you can exercise faith for them. But not when they can do it for themselves. Praise God. Galatians 5 verse 6. It says, faith worketh by love. I say faith worketh by love. In Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. The Greek word worketh is energio. Faith is energized by love. Agape love is a fuel of faith. The workability and profitability of your faith is a function of God's love domiciled in you. Without love, faith will malfunction. Without love, faith becomes dysfunctional. Okay? Faith worketh by love. Faith becomes impotent without love. A lot of faith failures is traceable to lack of love. Love is the engine of the vehicle of faith. Love is the engine of the vehicle of faith. And it is what makes faith to function effectively and efficiently. Abraham, the father of faith, was also a man of unusual love. Abraham was passionately and crazily in love with God that he left his father's house and followed God obediently. And when there was striving between the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot, Abraham chose not to operate in strife. As a man of love, he peacefully settled the case and separated. That's Genesis 13:5-11. When Lot was captured in that battle, Abraham didn't go to church to testify to God that God have disgraced his enemy, God don't judge him. No, rather he armed his trained soldiers and went after, dealt with Chedorlaomer, that bully king, and then recovered Lot and the loot. That's the practicality of God's love. What a man of love. Somebody that is messed up like that, if it were some of you, you will not go and help him. Say, God, don't catch him. Stubborn boy. After what I did for him, imagine that small boy. Into don't get money, they flex muscle with me. Let them deal with him there. Many of you, you will not go and help him. But because Abraham was a man of love, even when Lot was captured, he went and rescued him. No wonder the Bible calls him the father of faith. He was a man of love. Choose not to walk in strife. Faith finds expression with explosive result through love. Love is the engine of faith. And you know, without engine, once the in the vehicle of faith, love is the engine. And you know, once engine knock, no journey. True of us. And you know, as Valentine's season is coming up, we need to differentiate between true love and Telemundo love, Z-World love, Nollywood love. Moses was a man of faith. The Bible says by faith he what? Forsook Egypt. We read about him in Hebrews 11. But do you know Moses was a man of love? Moses pastored the most difficult church in history, the church in the wilderness. All these pastors complaining about their church. Oh boy, the one Moses pastored is worse than your church. Moses pastored a mixed multitude of grumblers, complainers, murmurers. People that didn't have the fear of God, they don't have regard for God's word. Almost every small challenge, let us make a captain that will take us back to Egypt. These were the people he pastored. To the fact that in Psalm 106 verse 32, the Bible says, they provoked and so angered Moses at the waters of strife, waters of Meribah, so that it went ill with Moses for their sake. Moses missed the promised land because of them all. So as a pastor, be careful. Members can make you miss heaven. Don't miss heaven because of some members. Listen, because of them, that was why Moses didn't enter promise. God said, you will see it. Climb mountain, Mount Nebo. He looked. He said, look at it. You don't see? He said, yes. He said, you know, me and you agree, you are not entering. Then God reminded him he's supposed to die there. Because the Bible said at 120, his eyes were not dim. Perfect vision. No presbyopia, no myopia, no using of eyelenses. His physical strength was not reduced. A 120-year-old man climbing a mountain. He has strength to climb a mountain. The anointing. Kabaya. God had to remind Moses that they had an agreement. And Moses died. And God buried him. The children of Israel, they made him to miss promised land. But look at it. When God wanted to destroy them, at a point, God was so angry. Moses interceded for them and put his life on the line for them. Look at Exodus 32:32. Moses was such a man of love and compassion. Remember, when God wanted to finish them, when they made that golden calf, even after he sent spies to go and spy out the promised land, and then
the 10 spies spread evil report. They wanted to stone Moses. What? And Joshua and Caleb, they wanted to stone them because they were talking faith. You know, anytime you are talking faith, you are in the minority. The majority now unbelief, doubt, now they talk. Just like now, you say, New Nigeria, things will get better. Which get better for where? Pray for which country? We've been praying for how many years? Nothing. This country, yala la she, it don't spoil. Just grab whatever you can grab and chapa. You know, there are people like, when you start talking like them, they will be happy. But when you talk differently, they are angry. Look at Moses. Say, yet now, if thou will not forgive their sin, if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of the book which thou hast written. Can you imagine? It takes love to intercede for people. It takes love to pray for people. The God kind of faith is rooted in love. The kind of faith that is unshakable, unbendable, immovable, indomitable, unconquerable, failure-proof is rooted in what? Tell your neighbor, faith worketh by love. Is energized by love. Love is a prime activator, an energizer of faith. Without love, your faith becomes dysfunctional. Your faith malfunctions without love. Even intercession is an act of love and compassion. The Christian faith is first and foremost a praying faith, an interceding faith. You see that in Exodus 32:32, 1 Timothy 2:1-4. Faith can easily get corrupted if it is not constantly exercised in prayers and intercession. Praise God. You know, intercession is an unselfish thing. You are not praying for yourself there. Praise God. Romans 3:27 talks about the law of faith. Romans 3:27. It says, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Faith is a spiritual law by which the kingdom of God operates. What is a law? Right. A law is an established universal principle. A law is an established universal principle. That works. A law is an established universal principle that has a predictable outcome. That has a what? Predictable outcome when applied correctly and consistently by anyone, anywhere, any day, anytime. Shall I take it again? A law is an established universal principle, is a fundamental principle that has a predictable outcome. That's a predictable outcome result when correctly and consistently applied by anyone, any day, anytime, anywhere. Praise God. That's talking of the law of faith. And what does the law state? Anything you believe in your heart fully and then you confess with your mouth, you say you are going to have that, right? Mark 11:23. And then Romans 10:9-10 is talking of the law of faith. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So there is a heart-mouth connection. It's talking of the law of faith. Then the next one is the walk of faith. The walk of faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. He said, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight.
The walk of faith. You see it? Okay, give me this in amplified. Okay, is there? We regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief. He says, not by sight or appearance, not by sensory perception. Okay? Our walk of faith requires personal relationship and fellowship with God. Our walk of faith requires intimacy with God or friendship with God. What's wrong with it? Our walk of faith requires personal fellowship and relationship with God. Remember, Abraham, the father of faith, was called a friend of God. Romans chapter 4, verse 12. James chapter 2, verse 23. Abraham is called a friend of God. Our walk of faith requires intimacy with God, intimate fellowship with God. This is important because it activates and sharpens our spiritual senses and organs of perception. It is through intimate fellowship with God that our spiritual senses and organs of perception is what? Activated and sharpened, thereby enhancing our faith work. Intimacy with God sharpens your spiritual discernment and increases your sensitivity to the voice and leading of the Holy Spirit, to divine direction, guidance, and the leadings of the Spirit. Based on your sensory perception, your spiritual sensory perception, you make decisions and take action steps in obedience to God. Faith is spiritual perception. Yeah. Spiritual knowing, sight, hearing, feeling, tasting. For every prophetic word to come to pass, you must apply the law of faith. You must take action steps of faith, and then you must catch the spirit of faith. Three things there. The law of faith must be applied, action steps of faith must be taken, and then the spirit of faith must be caught. Praise God. Look up. The applying the law of faith does not require relationship with God. Hello. Just like the law of gravity, it works for anybody, right? If a little baby activate the law of gravity, it will work for them. An adult, white, black, Yoruba, Igbo, it works for anybody. So applying a law does not necessarily require. Okay, let me give you an example. Archimedes' principle. Do you apply it in physics? Have you ever met him? Newton's law of motion. Do you apply it? Have you ever met Isaac Newton? Do you have personal relationship with him? So a law does not necessarily require you to have a personal relationship with the person. But to walk, the walk of faith requires personal fellowship. In Genesis 5:24, you remember the testimony of Enoch, and Enoch walked with God. That's a walk of faith. And Enoch was so intimate with God that God took him. Enoch walked with God, he was not. But before he was taken, give me Genesis 11 verse 5. We hear his testimony that he was translated by faith. And Hebrews 11 5. Hebrews 11 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Then next verse, we saw how he pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now look up. Enoch's faith was rooted in his what? Fellowship with God. Intimacy with God. His walk of faith. So I told you, unlike the law of faith, which does not require personal, intimate fellowship and relationship with God before you can apply it, our walk of faith does, because it is through that fellowship that our spiritual senses come alive. Our spiritual organs of perception, spirit of seeing and knowing, is activated. Give me John 5:19. Now, Jesus's faith worked perfectly because, watch this, because he operated with the spirit of seeing and knowing. His spiritual senses, organs of perception, they were very sharp. He knew the will of God. He knew what God was doing. They answered Jesus and said unto them, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. You see why? Jesus didn't miss it in faith. His work of faith was perfect and always produced results. Why? Because his spiritual senses were what? Activated. His perception was very sharp. The Son can do not. In other words, before Jesus take any action step, he must have seen the Father doing the same thing. He aligned with the will of the Father. Praise God. Then give me verse 30. That John 5:30. Look at this. It says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. You see, Jesus had a hearing ear and a seeing eye. In his faith walk, he had a hearing ear and a seeing eye. You know, we saw that we walk by faith, not by sensory perception, not by our physical senses. So if we are not walking by our physical senses, what kind of senses are we walking by? Somebody say spiritual senses. So your spiritual senses need to come alive. How? Through fellowship with God. Your organs of perception need to be activated so that you can hear God and see what God is showing you, so that your faith will not be out of sync with the leading of the Spirit. Jesus heard from the Father, he judged. Jesus saw what the Father was doing, he aligned himself. And he had a successful faith walk. Praise God. Rise to your feet. Next week, I'll talk about the spirit of faith. Are you blessed? Have you learned something on faith? In 1-2 minutes, I want you to pray this prayer. Give me Proverbs 20 verse 12. We saw that Jesus' faith walk was a success because he had a seeing eye, he had a hearing ear, what we call the spirit of seeing and knowing. The Bible said the hearing ear, the seeing eye, the Lord had made even both of them. You are going to say, Father, grant me a seeing eye. Let my spiritual senses be activated. Let my spiritual organs of perception, let them come alive. Just 1-2 minute prayer. So that I will know your will, so that I will see what you are saying, I will see what you are doing, I will hear from God. You know, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Kaliboro sofretele mendoko vrakapakatia. Let my spiritual organs of perception come alive so that I can receive rhema, so that I can see what you are saying, so that I can hear what you are saying. Kote baliko vratisa palateni eketolia agabrande ketoli sabarande kefreketosta. He said the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. He said, as I hear, I judge. As I hear, I judge. Let my spiritual senses come alive. In the name of Jesus. So let's bow. If you are in this place and you know, we say our walk of faith is enriched by personal fellowship, personal relationship with God. If you are here and you know you want to make your ways right with God, you know that your relationship with God is nothing to write home about. You want to surrender to Jesus. You want to make him your Lord and Savior. Or perhaps you did that before, but you went out of the faith, living in sin, and you want to come back. You want to be reconciled to your father like the prodigal son. Wherever you are, I want you to lift up your right hand up. Lift up your right hand. I'm going to pray for you right now. You want a personal relationship with God. I want you to lift up your right hand. If there's anybody lifting his right hand, can you come forward? Come to Jesus. In case you are following us online, you can lift up your right hand wherever you are right now. You want to come to Jesus. Do we have anybody within the congregation? You want to surrender to Jesus? Come on, celebrate her as you come. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. I want you to say this prayer. Believe with all your heart. Mean what you say. Say what you mean. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you. I believe you died for my sin. On the third day, you were raised to give me life. I accept eternal life into my spirit. I receive remission of sins through your blood. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Congratulations. Can you celebrate Jesus for her? You just made the most important decision. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, you say anyone that comes to you, you will know why it's cast out. I decree that the yoke of sin and Satan is broken off her life. Thank you.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Luca Satlong-King or to partner with us, please visit www.agmionline.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 006-530-2610 or 0703-699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.